Imagine earning continuing education credits while doing exactly what you're doing right now. Well, you can. Gable Media has revolutionized the way you earn your continuing education credits with a groundbreaking approach. Forget running around town and scouring the internet for credit-worthy courses. Fulfill your CE requirements effortlessly by listening to engaging podcasts just like the one you're listening to now. Our podcasts are designed to educate, entertain, and inspire, all in a user-friendly environment. But wait, there's more. Architects, Gable Media is also approved as an AIA Continuing Education Services provider. Upon completion, we handle everything, from reporting your hours directly to the AIA to storing your certificates in your personal Gable Media profile for your self-reporting needs. So follow the link in the show notes and start earning your credits in the most innovative and entertaining way possible with Gable Media.
This episode of Entree Architect Podcast is supported by our generous sponsors, BetterHelp and RCAT.com. My name is Mark R. LePage, and you are listening to Entree Architect Podcast, where each week I speak with inspiring, passionate people who share their knowledge and expertise all to help you build a better business as a small firm entrepreneur architect. Mike Tadros is Director of Product Management at Trimble and a visionary at the helm of SketchUp, the world's premier 3D design and modeling platform for architects and designers. With over a decade of leadership within Trimble, Mike's journey is driven by a blend of design, technology, and entrepreneurship, beginning with his environmental design studies at UC Berkeley and co-founding his first company. This unique path has instilled in him a profound appreciation for the synergy between a nurturing team culture and impactful product development. His philosophy centers around the belief that the energy and ethos of a team are as integral to success as the innovations they create. This perspective has shaped SketchUp's development, fostering a suite of tools that not only enhance professional workflows, but also contribute to building a more sustainable and beautiful future. In today's episode, we're set to explore the dynamic intersection of architecture and technology and the transformative potential it holds for our industry and profession as architects. Mike Tadros, welcome to Entree Architect Podcast.
Thanks, Mark, for having me. I appreciate the opportunity.
It's great to have you here. I'm a fan of SketchUp. I'm going to do some confessions here. I've been playing with SketchUp for, I don't know, since it's launched, right? I'm 54 years old. I'm the generation that started with pencil on a drafting board, transitioned to AutoCAD, never reached the BIM world myself, just to be honest. I keep trying, but now with Entree Architect and Gable Media and all the other things that I do as an architect, I'm not really practicing a whole lot anymore. But I still love SketchUp. I love doing the things that SketchUp does. It's easy to work with. And so I'm a big fan of SketchUp for a long, long time, way before Trimble has owned it. And so I want to hear some background on Trimble, and I want to hear some background on SketchUp. Then we're going to dive deep into SketchUp and your work there. But before we do that, as always here on this episode, on this podcast, I want to know more about you, Mike. I want to know where you started. What did you discover was your passion? When did you discover your passion for that? And maybe who or what inspired you? Tell us your story.
Yeah, gosh, thanks. That's a great question. And maybe not my favorite thing to talk about myself, but happy to offer a little insider perspective.
Well, where did it all start? How did you get involved in technology and design?
So I also started using SketchUp while practicing as a designer at an architecture firm in Culver City, California, and was kind of the young kid at the firm who was bringing a lot of different 3D modeling and rendering and visualization technology to the firm's practice and process, and just gravitated toward it. I think a lot of those same words that you just used, play, love, etc., I found in my relationship with the SketchUp software a lot of those same experiences. And so started using it on projects, started using it during client meetings in real time, and then started just making the firm a lot of money with it. And soon the principal had me going from desk to desk across the company, teaching other folks at the firm how to use SketchUp. And I had reached out to SketchUp at the time. This was back in like 2003, 2004, and was sending examples of some of the projects that we were working on at the office where I was working. And then got a phone call one day at work from a gentleman named Mark Carvalho, who was working at Atlas Software at the time and was building out a team of trainers who he had envisioned would travel around the country and the world teaching SketchUp to other people, and asked me if I had an interest in doing that since it was pretty much what I was already doing at the time. I said, yeah, sure. And that led to being offered a job as a contractor to teach SketchUp. This was back in 2004. And that opportunity was what led to me starting my own company, co-founding my own company with a couple of friends of mine from UC Berkeley.
What was that company? What did it do?
The company was called Igloo Studios. And the ambition out of the gate was that we would establish ourselves as a multidisciplinary design firm. But the consulting and software training part of our business is what really took off. And so that led to us creating a number of different types of training materials for SketchUp, starting with interactive DVDs. This was back in the day of software training DVDs. But those DVDs then turned into a video podcast series called The SketchUp Show, which launched as one of the first ever actually video podcasts on Apple's iTunes channel. And then that led to obviously us rebroadcasting over YouTube, et cetera. And that turned into a nice little business for us, but also gave me the opportunity to continue to really get to know the SketchUp customer base through the training work that I was doing around the world and through the customer base that we were building around the SketchUp training website that we had launched called School. And so that experience, coupled with some work that we started to get into with some of our customers who wanted to engage us as consultants to help build out their company's SketchUp-based workflows and start to help them figure out ways to customize SketchUp using its APIs and SDKs, got us into building essentially custom software solutions for certain customers. And that combination of experience, both teaching SketchUp and building SketchUp-centered software solutions for customers, is what ultimately led to me having the opportunity to join Trimble.
What did those custom solutions look like? How did that work? What were you selling?
Yeah. So in addition to the training work that we were doing, we also had a contract modeling service aspect to our business. And during Google's tenure overseeing SketchUp, they were one of our biggest customers in that regard. We were doing a lot of 3D modeling work for 3D warehouse, essentially building out not only real world buildings that populated Google Earth's 3D buildings layer, but also building out a bunch of building product manufacturer content for cabinetry companies, window door companies, finishes companies, et cetera. And one of the solutions that we built was an add-on to SketchUp called Product Connect. It was a generic extension that gave users the ability to add attribute data to components and materials that they could then use to generate window schedules, finish schedules, fixture schedules, et cetera. But some of the companies who we were working with to create content wanted us to take that a little bit further and really build out custom design solutions for their sales teams who were out in the field. For example, one company we worked with was a company that sold kit for customizing and building out your garage. So cabinetry and different types of, you know, flooring finishes, et cetera. And so we took SketchUp and layout and we built an incredibly streamlined solution for sales and design teams who are out in the field so that they could arrive on site at a customer's home and within 30 to 45 minutes have an as-built drawing of that customer's garage designed with all the kit and preliminary quote or estimate so that they could get sign off on the project and call it done within, you know, their customer's lunch hour or whatever. So that was a really cool challenge, really cool experience. And yeah, one example of many of the things that we were up to over the course of that decade.
And SketchUp has a long history. I don't know where it started, but I know somewhere along the line, Google bought it. It was integrated into a lot of the products that Google have developed since then. I don't know, do they still use SketchUp technology for any of their products, or are they all doing their own thing these days?
Yeah. So Atlas Software was founded in 1999. SketchUp V1 launched in December of that year. So we typically say the year 2000, this being year 25, essentially. And Google acquired Atlas Software in 2006. And then the product portfolio grew under Google's purview, 3D warehouse layout, that sort of stuff. And then Google divested the SketchUp product portfolio and sold it to Trimble in 2012, late 2012. I joined Trimble in 2013, February of 2013.
That was my next question. When did you become part? And so why did you do that? Tell me how and why you landed at Trimble.
Yeah, I think in many ways, the opportunity was just, it was too great for me to say no. It was one of those, give them an offer, you know. And so,
it sounds like a dream job for somebody who's been passionate and, you know, a visionary for SketchUp for so long that it just makes sense.
It was. I think, again, there was a lot of participation on my part and on the part of the colleagues who I was working with at the company that we co-founded in terms of trying to provide feedback to the SketchUp team and being involved, I think, to an extent. And I think the opportunity sort of beamed up into the mothership, so to speak, and start to be able to press some buttons from the inside, I think was a very intriguing and attractive proposition. And, you know, when I think about not only how I had framed the opportunity for myself at the time, but how I still think about the opportunity today, I'd always been inspired by and driven by this idea as an aspiring architect that the work that we do, that architects do, or that architects have the opportunity to do, is to go out and create a more beautiful, greener, safer built environment that can serve as inspiration for the inhabitants of these built worlds that we, you know, bring into existence. And that experience that people have inhabiting that built world can be the type of thing that carries them forward. And it can have a ripple effect, right? That then propagates a positive effect in who knows what sort of way. Well, to have the opportunity to practice as an architect, very, very motivating, very inspiring. To have the opportunity to build tools that help architects get their jobs done better, that's a different kind of ripple effect. And that opportunity is something that I don't take lightly, I don't take for granted, and is very motivating, inspiring to me. You know, it's that second, third, fourth order level of ripple effects, I think, is something we talk a lot about and think a lot about.
Yeah, I am very much aligned with that. And listeners to the podcast will recognize that a lot of the words you just said are similar to the things I say with Entree Architect and the work that I'm doing here to help architects build better businesses. I have that same mission. I stopped practicing so I can follow this mission to help architects build better businesses so they can be better architects because of that ripple effect. Right, that's how I can make the world a better place, by making architects more financially successful so they can be better architects. And so it's very much aligned with what you're saying.
Agreed. And thank you. Quick opportunity just to say thank you for the work that you do here with the podcast. I've had a chance over the last couple of weeks to listen to a bunch of episodes. And gosh, I couldn't help but think to myself how obsessed I would be with this podcast and others like it if I were still working to try to build my design practice, because the guests that you have on and the information that they're willing to share and just the service that you provide to make that information available, I can only imagine how that's positively impacted the lives of your listeners. And I just think it's super cool, the work that you're doing.
Thank you. I appreciate that very much. I love hearing your story because it's a similar story to mine. We have very similar paths. We're doing different things, but we have the same mission. And we want to help architects, you know, change the world. You know, that's the bottom line. It sounds cliche, but that's literally what we want to do.
That is the driving force. I just got goosebumps.
So tell me about Trimble. Actually, before you do that, when you joined Trimble, did you join as an employee or was it an acquisition from the company?
It ended up being as an employee.
So tell me about Trimble. You know, I know a little bit of the origin story. I want to share that story with our listeners a little bit. but it's a much bigger company than we all imagine it to be, right? I think Trimble, oh, it's the company that owns SketchUp. And then you go on the website and you can't even find SketchUp on the Trimble website. I mean, there's so much that Trimble is doing and it's impacting the world at so many different levels of what we do in this built environment. It's really amazing. So can you share a little bit of the origin story of Trimble and then talk a little bit about what Trimble does today? And then we'll talk about how SketchUp fits into that mission.
Yeah, I can try. Hopefully I get this all right. But I, from what I know, from what I think I know about Trimble's origin story, the founder of Trimble, Charlie Trimble, is somebody who I think was working at maybe HP at the time and had managed to figure out a way to divest some of its early positioning technology and use it to found the company Trimble. Its roots are in positioning technologies, so GPS equipment, et cetera. I believe one of the core beachhead segments for Trimble at the time when it was getting itself off the ground was in maritime and naval navigation. And from there, the geospatial segment of Trimble's business really took off. Over the decades that Trimble has been in existence, it's grown as a function of working its way into different sectors, different business sectors. And that's in many ways still how Trimble's business is organized: geospatial, agriculture, construction, and so on, forestry, transportation, etc. And so the work that we do within Trimble's architecture and design division, also known as the SketchUp team, the portfolio under Trimble has grown, the SketchUp portfolio under Trimble has grown to where we manage now close to 15 different products within A&D, the architecture and design division. But the architecture and design division is a division within Trimble's AECO sector. Your listeners, I'm sure, understand that acronym, but you know, architecture, engineering, construction, and owners. And so when we look across the portfolio of solutions that exist within AECO, it's not just SketchUp's portfolio, but it's also the portfolio of engineering solutions that are worked on by our colleagues over in the structures and Tekla group. And then we have, gosh, dozens of products and solutions in MEP, and a bunch of really great solutions for contractors and owners that are essentially the flagship group there is the Viewpoint organization. And so, again, we could dive into any one of Trimble's sectors, right? But I think for folks who are interested in thinking about or better understanding how SketchUp fits into Trimble's bigger picture, that's really through the AECO or construction sector of Trimble's business.
And so I understand how SketchUp fits into it, but you also said that it's grown and evolved and has multiple products that are associated with SketchUp. Now, can you talk a little bit about that? I think a lot of architects who understand SketchUp just understand the basic SketchUp, you know, go to SketchUp.com, download it, start push and pull, right? Mm-hmm. There's a lot more to it today and it's a lot doing a lot more things through Trimble. Can you share a little bit about that?
Yeah, I mean, I think Trimble's been an incredibly just great home for SketchUp and the SketchUp product portfolio, because the work that we do within the architecture and design division really is critical to Trimble's overall construction strategy. And so we've been fortunate enough to receive a lot of investment. The team's grown dramatically, I would say, over the 11 years that we've been at Trimble. And that's afforded us the opportunity to build out and introduce products and services within SketchUp's portfolio. If I think back to 2013, it was SketchUp for desktop and layout for desktop and the Google 3D Warehouse. Well, we rebuilt 3D Warehouse on entirely new infrastructure. That was one of the first projects that I led when I joined Trimble. We built and launched Extension Warehouse, which was the second project that I worked on at Trimble. We launched a mobile application viewer for iOS and Android, which was the third and fourth projects that I worked on at Trimble. And then we launched SketchUp for Web, which was not a project that I worked on directly, but obviously has been really successful for us, not only as an addition to our portfolio that has global reach, but also is now kind of a cornerstone for our educational offerings. Our educational program has grown. We, I think, have done a really nice job of expanding on our APIs and SDKs over that period of time to further establish SketchUp, not just as an application, but as a platform, an extensible platform that our customers and third-party developers can use to integrate the technologies that we develop into their workflows and really customize and tailor their workflows for the jobs that they're trying to get done. Layout's gotten better. We've acquired Sapphira, and that team has gone on to develop the pre-design solution that helps customers at the earliest stage of design better understand their site and the potential environmental impact of the project that they're looking to build. And the list goes on and on from there. I mean, yeah, we don't just have a mobile application viewer now. We have SketchUp for iPad that's been introduced into the suite of SketchUp authoring experiences. We've got our mobile and mixed reality solutions for VR, and most notably Quest as the latest introduction into that portfolio. So yeah, there's a whole bunch of stuff going on. And I would say most recently too, the work that we've been doing with regard to bleeding edge technologies in the AI space has also been really interesting with the launch last fall of the SketchUp Diffusion capability across our entire portfolio of SketchUp applications, desktop, web, and iPad. And more to come, much, much more to come. There's a lot of really exciting stuff in the pipeline. So I don't know if that answers the question. I feel like I've been rambling there, but it's maybe indicative of just how much work we've been doing here over the last 11 years. And obviously, I think indicative of Trimble's belief in the importance and relevance of the work that we do here.
So it's grown significantly since I was playing with it back then, and it's doing a whole lot more. You talked a little bit about AI and how AI is being introduced to it. How is AI being utilized to make SketchUp better?
Yeah, so there are a few things that we've launched that are now available for customers to use. The piece that I just mentioned, SketchUp Diffusion, is a new capability that we launched last fall across SketchUp for desktop, web, and iPad. We've also introduced an AI-driven capability for 3D Warehouse that gives users the ability to search 3D Warehouse using an image and then find the best result, the best match 3D model or component 3D Warehouse that matches that image. So those are a couple examples. There are a handful of other things that we've got in Labs at the moment. Labs is our early engagement program, formerly known as like a beta program, that are also pretty exciting. Some of those include feature enhancements to Diffusion, but also some other prototypes that take a look at essentially different levels of automation for different types of workflows that we've heard from customers are pretty tedious, and that we think AI offers the prospect, the possibility of our being able to speed up to a great extent. But yeah, I mean, if we were to really get into all of the kind of complexity and nuance that's inherent to a bunch of the different things that we've got going on, AI, as you know, I've sped through a few of the past episodes that you've done on the subject. It's a big basket of stuff, right? There are a lot of different technologies that fit under the AI umbrella, and those technologies being deployed in different ways sometimes mean different things to our customers in terms of, you know, whether the technologies are being used to partially automate or fully automate a process, or whether those technologies are used to assist or otherwise bolster the outcome or output of a workflow. So there's a lot of investigation, a lot of experimentation. It's a really exciting time to be working in the technology space, not only for those of us who are working on building the solutions, but also our customers are showing up in a really, really interesting way in terms of asking for things, asking questions about things, wanting to be involved in helping to steer and shape the projects that we're focused on, and the look and feel of how those projects manifest as features and capabilities.
Let's take a quick break to say thank you to our sponsors for their support of this episode. Architects, listen up. Is something interfering with your happiness or preventing you from achieving your goals? Regardless if you have a clinical mental health issue like depression or anxiety, or if you're just a human who lives in this world and is going through a hard time, therapy can give you the tools to approach your life in a very different way. I know this community of small firm architects very well, and I see many of you struggling. That's why I reached out to this episode's sponsor, BetterHelp. BetterHelp is a platform that makes finding a therapist easier because it's online, it's remote, and by filling out just a few questions, BetterHelp can match you with a professional therapist in as little as a few days. It's easy to sign up and get matched with a therapist. There's a link in the show notes. It's betterhelp.com/architect. Just use that link, betterhelp.com/architect. Clicking that link helps support this podcast, but it also gets you 10% off your first month of BetterHelp. So you can connect with a therapist and see if it helps you. If you need someone to talk to, consider online therapy with BetterHelp. Click the link in the show notes or visit betterhelp.com/architect. That's betterhelp.com/architect. Thank you to BetterHelp for supporting this podcast and for supporting our community of small firm architects. RCAT's Spec Wizard is the tool that will help you save time writing specifications. Going through the manufacturer's specification line by line to find the right product leads to frustration and errors. And that's where Spec Wizard comes in. It's a free, patented tool that allows you to select products and options error-free and generate a three-part specification in minutes. Go to RCAT.com, that's ARCAT.com, and try Spec Wizard today. It is a very exciting time to be alive and to experience what's happening in technology. And, you know, just when you think, what more can they do? And then they come out with this new technology that nobody imagined could be possible. And it becomes an integral part of our lives. It's just amazing how technology just continues to evolve and make our lives better. It is a very exciting time. You had mentioned a little bit about VR and AR. How is VR and AR? Because I could see that could be very exciting to use SketchUp with VR and AR and visualization and all the things that come along with that. Can you share a little bit about that?
Yeah, our efforts right now are mainly focused around improvements to the SketchUp Viewer for Quest application. But I think there are some very interesting opportunities that the team is exploring that exist kind of within the overlap in the Venn diagram between spatial computing and AI. And there's some really interesting work going on in the technology landscape as a whole, but I think also with what we're looking at to leverage, whether it's some of the trends that we're seeing around computer vision or some of the trends we're seeing around the ways in which large language models and other AI services can be combined into these bigger, more sophisticated, more robust multimodal AI models, right? If you're familiar kind of with that concept or that architecture of multimodality, where that essentially offers opportunities to create product experiences where you have some multitude of inputs. For example, computer vision, the information about an existing space that a device's cameras are able to see and pick up on, or the information from a depth perspective that LiDAR sensor on a device is capable of reading or interpreting. And so if you take an image about a space, you take information about the depth of that space, and then you combine that with some other input, what the user may be saying, for example, you know, voice to text or essentially text as input, what we're able to then interpret about all of that information, because all of the different underlying technologies are becoming so incredibly capable, right? It's not just where we were, you know, 3, 4, 5 years ago, where you could take a picture of a landscape and say, that's a tree. Now you take a picture of a landscape and you could have an AI write you a chapter that describes every aspect of that landscape, can tell you, you know, if it's from a particular period, tell you where in the world it thinks it's from based on the flora and fauna it sees, describe the mood, the time of day, et cetera. It's capable now of understanding such a rich set, or deciphering such a rich set of information about the inputs. Okay, we'll now add to that some amount of depth information, add to that an understanding of what's happening in real time as somebody's moving through a space where it's not just a snapshot, but it's, you know, real time video feed. And then from there, the list kind of goes on and on in terms of not only being able to understand and interpret what the current existing space is, but then being able to merge that with some sort of in-depth understanding of what a customer may be asking for that technology to do to that space, right? If we take for granted that most of our customers, you know, someone who's using a SketchUp application is probably not just interested in understanding a space, but they're interested in imposing some sort of design intent over the top of that space, then that's another really interesting dimension to the problem, right? For us to explore is how capable are these technologies of understanding those types of intentions as well. And so, yeah, a lot of that is stuff that we're investigating, researching, playing with. And it seems like every day a new technology surfaces that holds tremendous promise for fitting into this puzzle that we're in the process of putting together. And then the POCs that the team are developing are just kind of mind-blowing in terms of just the potential. And I should say too, you know, maybe that's a good opportunity for me to plug our early engagement program again, because a lot of these things that we're working on, we're not necessarily working on in isolation. We're working on in collaboration with our customers. I think the level of collaboration that we have ongoing now with our customers is higher than it's ever been. And that's been another really exciting aspect of the, essentially just our product development process and how it's evolved over the last few years, because it gives us the opportunity not just to think about and experience this, you know, insanely accelerated evolution of technologies that we're experiencing right now, but to see that through our customer's lens has also been just really, really exciting for us, I think.
You mentioned the headsets that you're using. When Apple launched Vision Pro, which obviously was secret until they launched it, which is different, right, than other headsets, has that changed the way that you're looking at the VR and AR?
It has. And I think it has not only because of what Apple's done from a hardware perspective, but also because of what Apple's done from a software development ecosystem perspective. I think that's one of the things that's really interesting, because we're essentially able to deploy our iOS code base, so to speak. We have an iOS code base today that we distribute through the Apple App Store, and customers can install the app onto their iPhone or iPad, and it knows how to present itself as either a view-only application or a full-fledged SketchUp authoring experience on iPad. But what Apple's done from a developer ecosystem perspective is say, hey, that iOS code base is going to run on the Apple Vision Pro as well. So it was pretty straightforward for us to at least put together an installer that we could start to play with to understand what the product experience would look like if we were to essentially try to deploy a primarily 2D-based application interaction experience, right, interface on Apple Vision Pro. But from there, you know, you just can't escape the opportunity for the application experience to be a much more immersive experience and to start to think about ways that we could afford users the opportunity to use SketchUp to interact with either their existing physical world, primarily because the pass-through, if you're familiar with what pass-through is, if not, I can go into a little bit more detail, but it's essentially the way in which Apple takes the video feed from its outward-facing cameras and uses that to pipe an incredibly high-resolution video feed back into what the user is seeing when they have the Apple Vision Pro headset on.
So your brain imagines that it's actually seeing through the glass, but in fact, it's a screen that they're seeing through camera.
It's so good that it's not even your brain imagining it. You just take for granted that the hardware is essentially AR hardware. And I think that distinction then that Apple is really kind of trying to get away from is this a VR headset? Is this an AR headset? They don't really use those terms. They just talk about it as spatial computing, because the headset itself is technically a VR headset. You know, if it's turned off, you don't see anything. You have a blindfold on, basically. If it's turned on, you get such a high quality pass through that it's as though you're not wearing anything. It's as though the lens in front of your eyeballs is just crystal clear and you're looking at your existing physical space. And so the opportunity that that then presents in terms of figuring out, okay, if SketchUp is a 3D modeling and design software that customers want to use to impose a design intent on the real world, what does that look like when you're wearing something like an Apple Vision Pro and you're wanting to impose your design intent on the space that you're currently standing in? But it's also, you know, a device that you can use to completely turn off the space that you're in and transport to a totally virtual world and have more of a VR-based experience. So if you're at the office working on a project and you want to immerse yourself in that project and you don't want to see the office that you're presently standing in, you just want to see the project that you're working on, which may be some distance away, you know, 1,000 miles away, the Apple Vision Pro kind of allows for those types of experiences as well. And so, yeah, super cool piece of technology. Still a lot of open questions for us as developers in terms of how it will advance and how some of the aspects of the experience that, you know, we see opportunities for improvement, you know, whether those opportunities for improvement will manifest. But yeah, also really cool just to kind of see what Apple's doing from a hardware perspective in terms of their investment in AI chipsets. I think that's another thing about the Apple Vision Pro hardware. It's got one of Apple's most powerful AI chips embedded in it. And just to see what Apple's doing in terms of investing in hardware so that AI-driven product capabilities can run on device, locally on device, I think it's just another huge trend line that's really interesting and really important for us to be looking at and thinking about. Because a lot of the AI stuff that we see emerging, a lot of the AI stuff we've deployed is all stuff that runs on pretty expensive cloud compute hardware. So it requires a connection to the internet, and other kinds of conversation points emerge whenever folks are talking about working with cloud services. And so to have that trend line emerge and to be thinking about how we could develop and deploy AI services that not only run in the cloud, but could potentially also run locally is another really interesting thread line.
Like we said earlier, fascinating time to be alive in terms of technology.
What are you seeing? What do you think the opportunities look like? What are you excited about, either with respect to mixed reality or AI? What are some of the things that have really been sort of standing out for you?
The thing I keep coming back to is, you know, I talk to my community, right? It's thousands of architects that are trying to run their own businesses, just 12 hats doing it all. And I see a lot of fear around AI, people thinking, you know, that AI is going to take over their jobs. And yeah, AI is going to definitely do a lot of the things we do as architects, but I don't think it's going to take over our jobs as architects if we don't let it. I think the trend that will emerge is that the human will become more important. The technology will continue to be tools. It'll be continue to be massively powerful beyond our imagination as we're discovering. But the human piece of that will still be a very important piece to architecture. People want to work with architects. People want to work with other people. And so I think the thing that's interesting to me is how the profession will evolve with these tools, allowing us to do a lot more, a lot faster. Being able to take the things that we imagined and instantly create images of those at this point is there. We can do that today. Where that goes in the next 5 years even is going to be fascinating to see how that works. And I think SketchUp's a big part of that story with the work that you've done from the very early days to what it was, right? It was a cutting edge, way advanced technology when it was launched, right? It was one of the first push-pull modelers that ever existed. It was fascinating for people to see that technology then. The things that are happening today, it just continues to evolve. And as you're describing, that it's so much more than that today. And so it is very interesting to watch it continue to evolve. And I'd like to see how that human technology connection where it goes, what it becomes. I'm fascinated with that.
Yeah, I agree. And well said too. I think that human technology connection is a very real thing for us. A couple of times you've used the words play and love when describing your interactions with SketchUp. And I think we embrace that kind of wholeheartedly, you know, that idea that SketchUp can be both a powerful professional tool that's widely used by folks practicing professional design around the world. And at the same time, the product experience can feel like they're playing, that they're in that creative flow state because SketchUp's kind of getting out of the way. And that it also allows for there to be this kind of back and forth, this human technology interaction slash relationship that feels good enough and feels right enough and feels supportive enough that you do start to use words like love when you're describing, yeah. when you're describing, you know, what it feels like to have that relationship with your tools, whatever those tools are. I think that's another one of those things that has just been a really interesting thing to think about and to explore when we're putting together some of these early concepts and putting together some of these early proofs of concept and showing them to customers is, you know, can those experiences that we're working on developing bring customers from a place of maybe being afraid, right, where the primary emotion is fear, to just a different state, almost a different emotional state, where the experience is more about joy and delight and bringing that excitement and, I don't know, energy, enthusiasm around creativity back into the design process in a way that's invigorating. And I think that's something we've definitely seen. We've definitely seen that. We've definitely witnessed that in real time as we've been showing different things to customers over the past several months, you know, at least with respect to AI or mixed reality, et cetera. And so that's just another really cool thing about the space that we occupy, the role that we occupy as technology providers or as, you know, solution developers, is that we have that opportunity as well to just help folks through that process of adopting some kind of new technology because we've made it accessible, we've made it enjoyable, we've helped, you know, bring a product experience that introduces a new technology to a group of people in a way that they feel good about. And so that's just another really interesting and really important part of the work that we do.
I love that you talked about SketchUp in that way, right? Because it's always been that, right? It's always been that introduction to that next step in technology, right? From the push-pull days to what it is today, it's the architects that first started playing with SketchUp were architects who were, you know, either hand-drawing or using AutoCAD, right? The early SketchUp users. And when they could instantly create a box and push and pull it and create another box and integrate them and start building, right? Like a clay model. It was an emotional response to that, right? It wasn't just, wow, this is interesting. It was like, whoa, this is like really amazing. And I think that SketchUp has been that all the way through to even today, that you're developing tools that will introduce architects and designers and other users to that next step in technology in a really easy, simple way. So I applaud you for that.
Oh, thanks. It's easy because we have such an amazing and enthusiastic and impassioned customer community. Our customers let us know when they think we're onto something. They let us know when they think we have room or opportunity to keep pushing. And I think that's another really interesting theme for us, is not just helping to introduce a concept or a technology or whatever, but seeing how far we can push it. And so while it's early days with, say, SketchUp Diffusion, for example, which again, I could talk a little bit more about if folks aren't familiar with what it does, it's pretty new, but we know that we're not really fully there yet, right? That there's more that we can be doing with, say, Diffusion rendered images as a technology or as a tool in order to help designers get even more of their job done better. And so that's the thing we also, I think, kind of appreciate that we keep hearing from customers is, hey, it's awesome that SketchUp helps me get all these jobs done. I would sure love it if SketchUp could help me get these other jobs done better too. And so that's pretty cool too, is that we're still in that position to continue to keep pushing the boundaries of what SketchUp's capable of and the extent to which it can serve the needs of our customers.
As we wrap things up, I would like you to just dive a little bit deeper into diffusion so everybody can understand what that is. And then while you're just talking about that, you've mentioned several times that you're looking for architects to get involved, to engage with you, to see some of the early tools that you're developing in the lab. So can you talk a little bit about diffusion and then talk about how we could get involved? How do we actually do that?
Of course. So I would want to zoom out real quick and just talk about how that's one example, a bunch of different projects that we're working on to make available to customers better, more sophisticated, more robust tools for various types of visualization related outcomes, right? As architects, as designers, there's just tons of jobs. Pretty much every single job throughout the entire project continuum is predicated on some type of communication with somebody, whether it's a colleague or a customer or a contractor. We know that SketchUp's probably the best solution out there for creating visuals that help design professionals communicate with one another to achieve, you know, some sort of outcome. Often, you know, fairly audacious outcome of trying to bring to life some sort of new aspect of our built environment. And so we're constantly looking at ways to improve SketchUp's capabilities with regard to visualization. And so there are some capabilities that are going to be released soon across our desktop and web and iPad applications that are going to start to take advantage of some of the work that we've been doing over the past couple of years to overhaul SketchUp's graphics pipeline. The first feature is a feature called Ambient Occlusion, which will be launching across desktop and iPad this week and next week. And Ambient Occlusion is a shading technique that really just helps make 3D models look more beautiful. And from there, we have a really exciting roadmap of additional capabilities that we're going to be looking to bring online that'll further enhance SketchUp's visualization capabilities. Another cool feature that we're looking to introduce this week is a feature called Scan to Design. And that's a feature that'll launch in our SketchUp for iPad application and finally give users the ability to use a LiDAR-enabled iPad to scan their existing space and then bring directly into their SketchUp modeling window a 3D model of that existing space that they can immediately start, again, kind of imposing their design intent on top of, if you will. There's some really exciting experiences that we think that that'll ultimately lead to when we talk about the work that we focus on that's really aimed at helping professional designers go out into the world and establish better relationships with their clients and colleagues, you know, establish high level of trust, a high level of collaboration. That feature in particular is going to be a really exciting feature in that regard. And then diffusion is another capability that really takes a look at leveraging what some of the generative AI capabilities are that exist today that help users create images. And in SketchUp's case, create images using a variety of different inputs. And so one of the inputs that SketchUp users are capable of feeding into this generative AI service, this diffusion AI service, is the snapshot of the SketchUp model that they're currently working on in SketchUp, right? So if you take that image as a starting point, and then start to combine that with other text-based inputs, what we call either a prompt or a style preset in this case, you can start to describe to the AI what you want it to do to this snapshot of the SketchUp model that you've just fed it. So you can imagine a workflow where you're working with a client, heck, even maybe having just scanned their space, you now have a 3D model of their space. You could use SketchUp's navigation tools to navigate around to a particular view. You could use maybe SketchUp for iPad's markup mode capabilities to hand draw over the top of that image. You could go to 3D Warehouse and pull in a couple furniture assets to better describe kind of the set and setting or mood or context of that space. And then you could ask AI to start giving you ideas or concepts about what that space could become. And it will supply you with a rendered image in any one of a number of different styles, from pencil sketch to watercolor to photorealistic, the list goes on, about what that space could look like. And you can just imagine what that experience would be, not only for the designer in that moment, but for the homeowner in that moment, of being able to just kind of engage with each other, right? Our focus is always on the human to human interaction, where the technology is a facilitator. And so if SketchUp's technology is helping to facilitate a richer conversation or a richer collaboration between these two stakeholders, right, who are both invested in the same outcome, but now have this communication medium or these communication tools that allow them to ensure that they're on the same page and to get them excited about different ideas and get them working together more closely, quicker, sooner. We think that's beneficial for everybody, right? We think that's the kind of thing that's hopefully going to help that designer land that project, provide an experience that exceeds the client's expectation, and ultimately lead to that designer preferred, for example, and establish themselves as having a reputation that's predicated not only on technology prowess, but being able to really, you know, delight and deliver. We think that's the kind of stuff, you know, if we're at our best, those are the kinds of tools that we're putting out into the world. So yeah, that's a little bit about what's coming. But to your point, labs is something that we've been investing a lot of time and energy into over the last year, year and a half. And it's basically a big, giant open door. And the invitation is out there. It's absolutely out there for customers to come and be a part of the conversation and to collaborate with us in terms of helping to shape the future of what SketchUp can be and how it can better serve the needs of professionals who are out there trying to get it done, trying to make it happen.
Yeah, it's exciting to hear you talk about the work that you do. I can see the emotion and the connection that you have with the work that you do and how it can affect people, right? We have a conference coming up in October for Entree Architect, and the theme this year is the future of architecture is human. And what you're describing and how you're describing it is very much, this whole conversation is very much the definition of that, is that architects understand SketchUp, they understand what it is and how it works. But when you hear the stories of how it was developed and why it's being developed and the dreams that you have for SketchUp and why you have those dreams for SketchUp, brings the human side of the technology alive. And that's the thing that excites me. Like I had said earlier, I see the passion that you have for the work that you do. And I love being able to bring that passion to our listeners so they understand that SketchUp isn't just a technology, right? There's a team of humans behind that technology that have a mission and dreams and hopes and desires of what this tool can do for the future of our built environment and the people who live in it. And it's really exciting to hear what SketchUp has become, where you have plans for it to go. It's exciting to hear your story. So thank you for coming by and sharing that.
Well, I appreciate that. And you know, to your point, it's not just my story. I feel privileged to have the opportunity today to talk to you and represent the story, I think, of our team. We really do have an amazing, dedicated, passionate, talented team of people behind SketchUp who are pouring a tremendous amount of energy into their work on a daily basis. And I think there's a belief that the energy and the positivity and the good vibes that we put into our tools and solutions are latent and they're transferable. And our goal is really the thing that excites us and energizes us is when we see that energy being transferred to our customers who then are interacting with our solutions, but then are able to take that energy and move it forward and propagate it forward out into the world through the work that they do and the interactions that they're able to have with their clients and colleagues. And so I really appreciate that. And yeah, just, we've said it a couple of times, but it really is true. It's an exciting time for us at Trimble and at SketchUp. And thanks again.
You're welcome. Before I let you go, I want to ask the final question that I ask all my guests. What's one thing that a small firm architect can do today to build a better business for tomorrow?
Great question. Yeah. What I would maybe want to do is I would maybe want to encourage folks to not, like, don't underestimate the power and potential of your voice, either as an individual or as a collective. And I mean that not just in terms of reaching out to us, right? I just mean that in general. I think a lot of times it's easy to think that, oh, you know, I'm the only person with this idea, or I'm the only person with this problem, or if I were to speak up, nobody's really interested or no one's going to listen. But I think folks might be surprised at how much of a difference, how much of an impact it can have when you do take the time to show up and to be maybe a little more assertive and to participate. And that's something that I know we're open to here at SketchUp, is we're open to people sharing with us their thoughts, ideas, perspectives, good or bad, about the work that we've got going on. And we have a lot of different places where folks can engage, whether it's through the SketchUp forums or whether it's through in-app feedback mechanisms that we make available for folks to get in touch with us. And we've mentioned it a couple times so far today, but our early engagement program, our labs program, is also very much open for folks to participate. So if there are folks who want to get in and get early access to some of the things that we're working on and participate in terms of offering us feedback about, you know, the extent to which those things we're working on meet their needs, there really is an opportunity, I think, for folks to get involved. And so I think that's maybe what I would encourage folks to think about or to take advantage of, is that opportunity in general, right? Broadly speaking, to get involved.
His name is Mike Tadros, and you can learn more about Trimble at trimble.com. Go to sketchup.com and go play with it again. Go have some fun with it. Then dive a little bit deeper and see what else it can do. And we'll also have a link to the labs there on the show notes. So you can just go to the show notes for this episode and we'll have a link to the labs as well. So you can just go click the link and sign up to get involved. Mike, thank you. Thank you for the work that you've done all these years developing SketchUp into what it is. Thank you for your passion and your dedication to this community of architects that you serve. And thanks for coming by here today and sharing your knowledge at Entree Architect Podcast.
Mark, it's been my pleasure. Thank you again for the opportunity and for the work that you do. Really appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you. If you liked this episode of Entree Architect Podcast, please share a link to this episode with a friend. Either just click the share button or highlight the URL and send the link to this episode with a friend, because that's how Entree Architect has grown to serve thousands more architects just like you. Throughout the 10 plus years of Entree Architect, that's how we've grown, architect to architect. So I would love for you to share this episode and all the episodes with one friend every week. We'd love that. And thank you to our sponsors for this episode. We don't have an episode if there's no sponsors. So thank you to our sponsors. Links to those sponsors, which you should go visit and click, and all the resources that we discussed today for this specific episode, they are all available at entrearchitect.com/podcast. Every episode that we've recorded is there, entrearchitect.com/podcast. Go click the links to the sponsors and say hello. Entree Architect is a member of the Gable Media Podcast Network. You should go visit that at gablemedia.com. That is the next evolution of interactive media and resources for the AEC community. You can now earn continuing education credits for listening to select episodes of this podcast, Entree Architect Podcast. Yes, AIA CEUs for listening to a podcast. It's there, and many other podcasts are there as well. And you can listen to all of them and get credit. Learn more about our program, Gable Members Program, at the gablemedia.com/members website. That's gablemedia.com/members. And if you are a small firm architect, join us today at Entree Architect Network. That is the worldwide organization for small firm entrepreneur architects. If you own your own architecture firm, you are an entrepreneur architect. You are an Entree Architect. With weekly live group business coaching, yep, we have business coaching there, monthly live business training with AIA CEUs, two a month, so 24 AIA credits per year, including 12 of those are HSWs. We have them in the membership. Business resources, all the resources you need to run your business, special session webinars, mastermind groups, and a thriving community of small firm architects just like you. Hundreds of architects are there waiting for you to join. So we provide the support and encouragement you need to succeed as a small firm architect. I know that you haven't been trained as a business person when you launched your firm. That's what we do. Come learn how to run a business at Entree Architect Network. And today you can go join right now for free for 30 days at this link, entrearchitect.com/30days. We'll give you free 30 days for membership. Go check it out at entrearchitect.com/30days, and I will see you there. Thank you for listening to this episode of Entree Architect Podcast. My name is Mark R. LePage, and I want you to remember three words: love, learn, share. Have a great day. Are you NCARB certified yet? Join the network of over 45,000 architects who have the NCARB certificate to expand your professional reach. By becoming NCARB certified, you are demonstrating that you've met the national standards for licensure, a qualification that can be an important factor for firms when hiring and promoting. Certificate holders have a streamlined path to apply for a reciprocal license in all 55 U.S. jurisdictions, as well as access to an extensive library of free continuing education courses. Learn more today at ncarb.org.